Thank you. We are now experiencing a time of year that takes place between Thanksgiving and Christmas. You know, we barely finish the leftover turkey when we begin to consider our plans for Christmas. Some of us are required to make travel arrangements, or perhaps hotel or dinner reservations. And then there's all that decorating, the buying of gifts, and the sending of holiday greetings. Yes, this can be a very busy time. You see, what happens is this. Over the years, we have established certain beliefs concerning how it is that we want to celebrate the holidays. Some of this is based on tradition, repeating what it is that we have done in times past. For others, it is a time to begin anew, establishing different habits of celebration. Regardless of our intent, the activity is one of busyness, and we may find us a little overwhelmed, certain that we have overtaken more than we can handle. Now, it is true that many of us do enjoy this time of year, Thanksgiving and Christmas, and the idea of not commemorating the events, well, it really is not an option. So the challenge for us is this. Is there a way to observe the holidays without the craziness we may have put into place? You know, there is a special meaning associated with each occasion. And when we busy ourselves with the outer display, we lose a sense of the true meaning behind the event. Is it really possible to stay focused on the purpose of the celebration and not get caught up in the outer display of celebration? We are certain there is a way, and we are determined to discover what it might be. Now, the activity of busyness, it's a lot of motion, a lot of running around here and there. Sometimes we are not even aware of the purpose or the destination. You see, there are many things vying for our attention, asking us to participate in a certain way. Now, personally, when I find myself in this place of temptation, I know it's time to pause and take a step back. I personally do not do well working from the place of noise, commotion, and especially confusion. I do best when I may respond to life from a place of peace, from a place of reflection. In a time of reflection, we discover the true significance of the event. We discover what truly matters, what has value, and what is worthy of our attention. Let us always remember that our response to life is our responsibility. No one can take our sense of peace from us. We can, however, give it away when we yield to the temptation of noise, commotion, and confusion. We've all heard that phrase, silence is golden. And you know, it really is. When we enter into a place of inner reflection, we become still. And in the silence, we listen beyond noise and sound, beyond words and thoughts. A feeling of quietness comes over us, allowing us to observe in an inward way. Especially at this time of year, we take the time to ponder the true meaning of the celebration, determining that that will be what we honor and respect. Regardless of what the world handles, the outer display, what they do with it, our celebration will be the true recognition. So the goal for us is to find a place of stillness, one where we may retire into ourselves. And in the solitude of that moment, we give thanks for the bountiful life at Thanksgiving, and we welcome the birth of Christ in us on Christmas Day. Now, Thanksgiving Day, it has come and gone, but you know the activity of giving thanks continues to be a daily event. Each and every day, in fact, many times a day, we give our glory to God in praise of that pearl of great price, the acknowledgement of truth, that God is the truth of us. The realization is that we may consciously live as that man who has his being in Christ. There is no busyness in the quiet place of inner being. There's no distractions. There's nothing to disturb us. Yes, silence is golden. And you see, when we retire within ourselves into our spiritual being, there is nothing else. Just God and us. The psalmist knew of this inner sanctuary, and he called it the secret place of the Most High. And then he told us to dwell there. Now, when we dwell in a place, we live there. We don't vacation there or just visit now and then. No, we live there. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. If we keep the Word alive in our consciousness, we dwell in that secret place, and none of the claims of the world shall touch us. So you see, if we stay in that place of serenity, we will be able to travel the world of experience, moving among the busyness of outer display, but we will not get caught up in it. Now, the Christmas event, that one still lies before us. This year's observance, well, it has not yet come about. Let us approach it from that place in consciousness that gives recognition to the birth of Christ in the soul of man. And let that be the main event. Let us understand that the outer approach to the celebration merely reflects the human way of pomp and display. Do not allow the appearance to obstruct the true vision. That vision that is revealed in us when we became still enough to receive it. Let this be our established way of life. Each and every day of the year, our practice should be to turn within and live this way. Each event in our life, actually every daily occurrence, may be viewed with the eye of wisdom. The prayer of recognition is that God is in this place. That is my sufficiency. Nothing else to consider. When this becomes our established attitude, we may celebrate each and every holiday throughout the year, giving recognition to the purpose for its existence. Yes, we may continue to involve ourselves in the outer display, but we will not mistake it for the true acknowledgement. Now, I think that many of us have discovered, to some degree, the purpose of the quiet place. It is there that we ponder and we reflect about life. It is there that we learn of truth, of meaning, and value. And what we receive in our time of stillness is ours. What another receives in his time of solitude is none of our business. Each must guard his pearl of great price. One cannot truly explain what happens in his soul's awareness. There are simply no words to describe the experience. We may say it was wonderful, it was beautiful, and yet the experience far exceeded anything that we could say. Some have written that they have heard and seen marvelous things, and yet were unable to put the experience into words. Now, I personally do not think that we are always meant to share what is given us in that moment of solitude. Wisdom knows when to speak and when to be still. Silence is truly golden. We are, however, meant to live what we gain in the quiet moment. Individuals, we speak of light and of illumination. And when these are established in us, we walk in their expression. And yes, others will feel it. And they will want what they sense we have. Now, those who are serious about spiritual understanding, they will ask. And we may share with those who have ears to hear. Remember, wisdom will tell us who the true seekers are. We read about Jesus. Jesus understood about light, illumination, and wisdom. And when the wise individual, the truly serious individuals, ask their questions, he was able to speak from a place of authority, a place of knowledge and understanding. Chapter 40 in the Aquarian Gospel of Jesus the Christ gives us a beautiful illustration of this. Now we read that Jesus was speaking and teaching. And it was noticed that a light not comprehended shone about, as though some mighty spirit overshadowed him. Now an individual asked him privately to tell him from whence his wisdom came, and the meaning of the light. Jesus answered, "There is a silence where the soul may meet its God, and there the fount of wisdom is, and all who enter are immersed in light. They are filled with wisdom, love, and power." And then he was asked, "Tell me about the silence and the light, so that I may go and there abide." Jesus responded, "The silence, it is not circumscribed. It is not a place closed in with wall, nor guarded by the sword of man. Men carry with them at all times the secret place where they may meet their God. It matters not where men abide, in marts of trade, or in the quiet home. They may at once, at any time, fling wide the door and find the house of God. It is within the soul." Jesus continued with these words, "One may not be so disturbed by noise of business and the words of thoughts of man, if he goes all alone into the valley or the mountain pass, and when life's heavy load is pressing hard, it is far better to go out and seek a quiet place to pray and meditate." Jesus understood that when we abide in the secret place of reflection, we are not disturbed by noise, by commotion, or confusion. The silence is the kingdom of the soul, which is not seen by the human eye. If you would find the silence of the soul, you must yourself prepare the way. None but the pure in heart may enter here. And so it is with us. If we are to enter into the quiet place, if we are to dwell in the secret place of the Most High, we must prepare the way. The one who is pure in heart is the one who seeks God above all else. There's no hidden agenda, no more personal wants and wishes, just to be in the presence of God. Now, Jesus also gave us some advice on how to prepare the way. He said, "You must lay aside all tenseness of the mind, all business cares, all fears, all doubts, and troubled thoughts." The message is simple to understand, but it's not easy to put into practice. The busyness of our existence includes the tenseness of mind, the concern for our business and personal affairs, and just how do we lay aside the feelings of fear and doubt, and what do we do with those troubled thoughts that keep us awake at night? The answer is given is to be pure in heart. The human will must be absorbed by the divine. Then we will come into a consciousness of holiness. Now, a consciousness of holiness is really living in the kingdom of heaven. It is dwelling in the secret place of the Most High. Now, as always, we wish to make our lessons practical. That is, practical to our everyday experience. Now, believing there is such a thing as the secret place of the Most High, that's important. But then it becomes a matter of how do we get there? We may have read that there is such a place called Mount McKinley. We may have even seen pictures of it. So yes, we believe it does exist. But our belief does not lead us to it. To arrive at Mount McKinley, we must make certain preparations. Ascending to the mountaintop, it is a difficult journey, one requiring certain apparel and equipment. And only the truly serious individual will make it to the top. Many people say they believe in God. They proclaim God to be the creator of all things. They look around themselves. They discover that the oceans are filled with fish. The air, it is filled with birds. They notice the earth with its coal, its oil, diamonds, and rubies. And then they look at the moon and the stars, the mountains, and the valleys. And they do believe that there is some unseen activity that gave them this ability. They believe this unseen activity to be God's creative activity. They ponder what they have seen and what they have heard. And then they look at their own being, their own selves. They believe that surely God put them into place. And this is true. Because you see, they notice that the fish are one with the ocean. And the birds, they are one with the air. The oil and the gas, they belong to the earth. So this reasoning leads to the belief that we belong to God. That we have our being in God. But something more than belief in God is necessary. And that something more is the experience of God. The individual who scales the height of Mount McKinley has an experience not available to the one who views it from the ground and goes no higher. The individual who ascends into the secret place of the Most High has an experience not available to the one who simply reads books, takes classes, and does not put the lessons into practice. To experience Mount McKinley from the top, we must climb it. To experience what is of God, we must go where God is. Jesus told us that God is in his kingdom, that his kingdom is not of this world, and then he told us to seek it above all else. The psalmist tells us to lift our eyes on high and then ascend to that place of consciousness. Yes, it does require preparation. Lay aside what belongs to the world. Discard all fear, tenseness of mind, doubt, and especially those troubled thoughts that keep us awake at night. We do this by giving attention to the top of the mountain. Stay focused on where we want to be and not where we have been. To put something aside is to discard it. And when it comes to releasing what is of the world, it is a matter of going in consciousness to that place where we want to be. When we remove our attention and focus from something, we no longer feed it. And then it becomes as that branch that is cut off from the tree. It withers and it dies. Wisdom instructs and directs. It illumines and it educates. It is the light that shines about it. And those who have ears to hear and eyes to see, they will notice it. Knowledge of truth is our pearl of great price. It is given to inner being in that time of solitude. And since it is from God, that means it is a sacred experience. Let us keep it holy. Let us keep it secret. And when what we have received in silence is established in us, then and only then is it prepared to go before us. We become the beholder as it goes forth, illuminating and enlightening all who are prepared to receive it. Now, to me, that phrase, silence is golden, validates the need to rest in the invisible. When we discover that this is so, we retire into ourselves more and more. Remember, we were told that Jesus went often to the mountaintop, and when he was refreshed, then he walked among the people. Let us be true to our time on the mountaintop, true to our time of stillness where we release what belongs to the world and enter the place of inner being. Now, we probably won't be able to stay there for too long a period of time. The world continues to call us, and we find us from time to time heeding the call. But having discovered that place of inner being, we will not stay too long in the world. We climb the mountain in consciousness, and we carry our consciousness with us. Many times a day we turn and we find us there. When we live mostly in the world, it's called surface living, touching this and that, not going nearly deep enough to notice the light that shines about. The one who digs a little deeper, that one discovers his depth, that place that is not disturbed by the activity of surface living. Let us be the one who has his being in Christ. Let us rest in the invisible because it's who we are, and we may claim it now. This morning we had the opportunity to release ourselves to the infinite presence in us that loves us and cares for us. Would you join me now in our closing meditation? As we close our worship service, let us become still and acknowledge the quiet place, the one in the center of our being. There is a place in us, not touched or disturbed by the activity of the outer world. It is sacred, it is holy, and only the pure in heart may enter in. The pure in heart desire to be in God's presence. No other purpose, just to be in his presence. In the solitude of the moment, we listen. Fear not, I am here. Be not dismayed, I will never leave you. In the midst of trials and tribulations, we discover a depth of being not known to human understanding. The secret place, it is the spiritual kingdom, and it's not seen by the human eye. It is sensed and it is felt. God in the midst of us is the answer to every question, the solution to any problem that we may face. So let us go often to the realm of infinity, time without end, no beginning and no end to us. Life, it is eternal. We are that life. Amen.
May the Lord bless you and keep you. May he cause his light to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. Turn within and acknowledge him, so that he may lift your consciousness and give you his peace. Amen. Thank you.